Track 6, Treating Fear in the Culturally Different Client. On the last track, we discussed the culturally different client's locus of control as well as the locus of responsibility. Your culturally different client may have either an internal locus of control or an external locus of control. In counseling, your culturally different client may adopt either an internal locus of responsibility or an external locus of responsibility. On this track, we will discuss the ethical treatment of fear in culturally different clients who are coping with the 5 stages of identity development and the loci of control and responsibility discussed on the previous tracks. When Carlotta, age 39, Hispanic, came to my office, she said that she was very unhappy. Carlotta stated, "No one has ever really appreciated me. My father was abrasive, and my mother was just submissive to him. She really didn't have a personality at all. She was so caught up in what my dad wanted, she didn't notice me at all." She explained that this situation growing up had created a lot of anger inside her. Carlotta stated, "I just can't get close to anyone. I've dated some men, but it just seems like there's this invisible barrier. I've also tried to go out socially with some girlfriends, but we were never really that tight." Sound like a culturally different client of yours? Ethically, how would you handle Carlotta's problems? As you can see, Carlotta's problem is not just her anger. I suspected that Carlotta's anger was actually rooted in another emotion. I asked Carlotta, "When you try to comprehend the reasons for your anger, what do you come up with?" Carlotta stated, "I know I have a hard time trusting people that aren't Hispanic. It becomes a never-ending cycle. I want to get close to someone, but I'm sure I send signals indicating discomfort. So that person rejects me and I get mad. Then when another potential relationship comes along, I'm all the more skeptical, so the cycle repeats itself." I stated to Carlotta, "I'm hearing you say that you are guided by your fears." Carlotta looked surprised. She stated, "Fear? I always knew I was angry, but I didn't think I was living in fear." It seemed to me that Carlotta needed guidance in identifying fear. Do you agree? As you are well aware, fear implies hesitancy, apprehension, and doubt. I have found that fear is an emotional governor that inhibits many culturally different and non-culturally different clients from living with full-throttle confidence. However, as you are well aware, fear is not always expressed in hesitancy, apprehension, and doubt. To help Carlotta understand her fears, I decided to have her work through a couple techniques. As I explain them, think of your client of a different culture. Would these techniques be ethically appropriate? The first technique I asked Carlotta to do was the describing fear technique. The describing fear technique is based on just one question. I handed Carlotta a notebook and asked her to answer the question, "When you think of a fearful person, what mental image is most typical?" Carlotta began writing, "Someone unassertive, cowardly, shy." I stated to Carlotta, "Most people identify fear in overtly weak characteristics like the ones you wrote. As you know, those qualities have strong elements of fear. However, fear is not one-dimensional. Fear can be expressed in any way that shows the inner insecurity that inhibits us from living the healthy ways we know we should." For the second exercise, which I call the subtle fears exercise, I asked Carlotta to flip to a blank sheet of notebook paper. I stated, "I'm going to list 10 statements. I want you to give yourself a point for each statement that applies to you." I then read the following statements to Carlotta. Number 1, I feel antsy or uncomfortable when I'm not in control of things. 2, I have been told I don't receive others' feedback well. 3, there are parts of my personality no one knows about. 4, sharing intimate feelings or personal thoughts with others is not natural for me. 5, sometimes I use humor to avoid delicate subjects or I change topics quickly. 6, the moods of other people can have a strong effect on my own moods. 7. I have a habit of letting my frustrations fester inwardly. I don't let go of them easily. 8. I have been known to tell lies to cover up flaws or to keep from being accountable. 9. When someone is clearly angry, I habitually seek to cover my flank. 10. I worry more about my public image than most people would suspect. Carlotta counted her tally marks and stated, "I have 7 points." I explained to Carlotta that each of the statements represented a subtle form of fear. I stated, "Having more than 5 points in the subtle fears exercise usually means that you struggle often with fear. That fear, in turn, brings frustration and anger into your world." Do you have a culturally different client who, like Carlotta, is expressing his or her fear through anger? Ethically, would your Carlotta benefit from the describing fear technique, or would your Carlotta benefit more from the subtle fears exercise? From an ethical perspective, how might her cultural background influence the counseling process? On this track, we discussed the treatment of fear in culturally different clients. On the next track, we will discuss the relevant processes and goals in counseling culturally different clients. We will also discuss Ivy and Othier's 4 conditions that may arise in counseling a client of a different culture. These 4 conditions are appropriate process and appropriate goals, appropriate process and inappropriate goals, inappropriate process and appropriate goals, and inappropriate process and inappropriate goals. Question 6. How is fear expressed in culturally different clients?